Your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
6:47 on a Tuesday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Thanks for rolling with us. Well, in a world where alcohol is readily available and addiction is rampant, it can sometimes be hard to determine exactly when drinking has become a problem and even harder to break the habit once it is part of a daily routine. It's something that Paul Carr writes about in his book, Sober is My New Drunk, Byliner Original, which outlines his own 12-step program, which was featured in a Wall Street Journal article he recently wrote. Paul, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
So your book, Sober is My New Drunk, what led you to write it? And what kind of role was drinking playing in your life?
not a good one. What led me to write it was the fact that I finally quit drinking 2 years ago, and I wrote a lot on sort of my own blog and in sort of social media and in various publications about the fact that I was no longer drinking. And a lot of people just asked me, you know, how did you do it? Did you use AA or any of the kind of traditional paths to sobriety? And really, I just sort of like had explained it so many times that I thought, you know what, I should just write this down. So, you know, it's clear people are interested in how to get sober. So,
I see. Well, you know, Alcohol Anonymous, of course, Alcoholics Anonymous, it made the 12 steps famous. Part of their structure is admitting that an alcoholic is powerless over alcohol and also belief in a higher power. Did you find the AA approach somewhat problematic or didn't quite work for you?
Yeah. I mean, basically, so I did a lot of reading, and my first assumption was, oh, I'm going to quit drinking, I should go to AA. So I started reading a lot of the writing about AA and meeting people who had been to AA. And yeah, exactly as you say, the two big things about AA, the idea of anonymity and the idea of admitting that you're powerless to resist drinking, those two things didn't really sit with me. I sort of thought, well, I'm not sure I'm powerless. I think I'm just very, very weak. And I think, more importantly, the anonymous thing, my problem was I was quite well known among my, in fact, very well known among my friends and quite well known sort of as a writer of writing about being a drunk, basically. And I thought, well, quitting anonymously isn't really going to help me. What I need to do is get out there the idea that I do have this problem with alcohol and I'm planning to quit and hope that way I'll get as much support from friends and even from strangers as I might from a sort of secret AA meeting. So, and then, yeah, the sort of higher power thing, it's not that I'm particularly an atheist. It was just that there was something about, again, giving up the personal responsibility and saying that only something else or somebody else can help me just didn't really sit with me. It felt like, no, this is my problem and it's my problem to solve.
Okay, let's take a look at some of these steps. Your very first step, step one, is to ask yourself, do I really have a problem? And that, of course, could be the first and last step. What is the right answer to that question, then?
So my point with that is I think groups like AA, and it isn't just AA, there are lots of different ways, you know, lots of different programs, and a lot of those set the bar very low of what it means to be an alcoholic. And my answer was, well, there are lots of people who drink quite a lot, but who aren't alcoholics. And it's important to just basically ask yourself, is alcohol ruining my life? And that was really my bar. It's like, it's not fun anymore. It's not even kind of like silly anymore. It's just, it is actually actively destroying my life. And so, yeah, for me, it was just a question of don't do any of these sort of tests where it says if you tick six of these boxes, you're an alcoholic. Only you know if you're an alcoholic. And it's something you definitely feel inside yourself. And if you can carry on drinking and enjoy it, then you're a better man than I, but good luck to you.
Your second step is to quit publicly, and that seems like something that many would hesitate to do, especially when there is no evident problem publicly, and doing so might make people think less of you. Is that not a concern?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, sort of jumping to the 12th step, my 12th step was basically ignore all my advice. The thing that what I tried to get across was these are the steps that work for me. My overall message is, everyone has their own relationship with alcohol, and everyone has to, if they decide to end that relationship, everybody has to decide for themselves the best way to do it. So for me, though, as I was sort of well-known among a group of people for being a drinker, I had to get equally well-known as somebody who was sober. Otherwise, everywhere I went, somebody would say, oh, let me buy you a drink. Or, and I, that was the biggest threat for me was, was people I knew, but also people who had read about me drinking, offering me alcohol. So for me, publicly was the only way to go. Anonymously wouldn't work. For other people, if you're an airline pilot or running for office, you're probably not going to want to quit.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah, you don't want to announce that to the
But you probably do want to tell people around. You probably do want to have people who you trust and say to them, look, I know that before it was fun, you know, out drinking or whatever else, but I have this problem, and I'd really like your help in quitting. And all that really necessarily has to mean is don't offer me a drink, you know. So I think everybody just can decide for themselves how many people they want to tell. But I just think total anonymity is, to my mind, not necessarily the best approach.
I'm talking to Paul Carr, his new book, Sober is My New Drunk. Now, steps 5 and 6 are stop lying and stop apologizing. Those seem like good ideas to do whether you're confronting a drinking problem or not. Why did you include these steps?
Well, for me, so the stop lying one was, again, this is all about, you know, personal steps. And one of the things I realized when I stopped drinking was there were other aspects of my personality that had grown up in tandem with the drinking, but weren't necessarily about drinking. And one of them was, you know, if I'd been out drinking and then I was late for a meeting, or I was sort of, you know, didn't really want to tell people what I'd got up to the previous night, I would just sort of tell these sort of, to my mind, white lies. But the trouble with small lies is they tend to grow into bigger lies. So one of the things I wanted to do was also kind of quit lying cold turkey. And so that was just happened to be one that I included. But the other people might not have a problem, but there does seem to be a correlation between drinking and lying. So, again, sort of all of the apologizing thing is I actually agree with AA that it's important to try and make amends to people who you've harmed and who you've wronged. But I tried to draw the distinction between people who are still in your life and people who aren't. And I'm just not sure I agree with the idea of kind of tracking down people from your past and sort of sitting them down and trying to make amends. Because in my experience, it's really not for you to decide who is and isn't in your life anymore. And if people have decided they want nothing more to do with you, that's really their choice. And the idea that you come knocking one day and say, oh, I need to apologize to you, it just seems self-absorbed that it's... So I really focused on apologizing and making amends to the people who are still around me. Now, and I just didn't take too much time trying to track down those who aren't.
Now, one thing I wanted to point out is in the article you note that on a typical day, you weren't drinking throughout the day. You would drink at the end of the day after getting your job done. That sounds like something a lot of people do. I'd probably say maybe even the majority of Americans might be doing that. Is that a problem? Is daily drinking of any kind, in your mind, 2 years sober now, is that something that should be addressed?
Not really. I mean, again, it's up to you to decide if you have a problem. If it's affecting your health or just your well-being, then maybe. But no, my problem was that, yeah, generally speaking, I didn't drink until towards the end of the day. But my problem was the moment I had that first drink, and if it happened at 9 a.m., then, you know, heaven help me for the rest of the day, because the moment I had that first drink, I could not stop until I was passed out. And that was the problem I knew I had, was not that I was waking up in the morning and craving alcohol. It was that the second I had that first taste of alcohol in the day, whatever time that happened to be, I couldn't stop until I passed out. If you're somebody who, at the end of the day, decides, you know, I've had a stressful day, I'm going to have a couple of glasses of wine or a few beers, even if you do that every day, if you can just, if you know when to stop, if you get up, if you have a couple of beers and then think, yeah, I'm done for the night and go home, to my mind, by my measure, you don't have that much of a problem.
No.
You're just, as you say, you're like everybody, you're like most people. But it's if you just cannot, physically cannot stop until you pass out, that's when you think, well, this is not normal.
Well, one last thing, 2 years sober in the world of sobriety, that's not very impressive to some people. That's just beginning the process. What are your thoughts about looking ahead, the fact that it's been only 2 years? Do you expect at some point that you may begin to try drinking socially again?
So I've always been of the sort of never say never school, because I think the minute you start saying, I will never drink for the rest of my life, you're just setting yourself up for a failure. And then even in AA, they talk about, you know, one day at a time. I can't imagine a possibility where I could drink socially again. I know myself, and I know the way I'm built is again, I drink one drink and suddenly I drunk, 50 drinks. It's, I don't see a time when I could do that. But again, my plan is to just keep doing that one day at a time thing. And as you say, 2 years isn't that much. I mean, it's a lot. It's in terms of, it's given me enough time to turn around a lot of the problems that I had in my life because of drinking, but it's definitely the beginning of a journey. And all I can keep doing is not drinking, but also keep talking about how I'm not drinking so that I sort of keep myself accountable. And, we'll see how that journey goes.
Paul Carr, his book, Sober Is My New Drunk. Paul, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And we are coming.